Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
Mike Emlett,
David Pollison.
Well, this week we're going to talk about how counselors can guard against pride. And the question we received goes something like this: I think good counselors have an incredible impact on people. How do you guard against pride and self-glorification?
I think my short answer to that question is have enough counseling cases to show your many failures, and that is probably the best guard. And I only say that somewhat tongue in cheek because I think that's true that you there is a humility that comes as you walk alongside people and realize that you are not the Redeemer, you are not the Savior. And even when there's not, in that sense, missteps in counseling, it's a very sobering thing and an incredible privilege to do that. So I do think, though, that struggles in the midst of counseling cases prompt us to be dependent on the Lord and help guard against pride. And then just I think being honest about your own feelings, not inside the counseling room but outside the counseling room, mm-hmm. and other relationships and in your family, I think those are mm-hmm. things that guard against pride.
It's interesting. I went in the same direction you did, from a slightly different angle. My first response to the question was, it's the same answer as how do counselors guard against despair. And mm-hmm. one of the things I remember from early in my counseling ministry is this realization as I drove home after the end of a long day, what was going on in my mind? Was I mentally patting myself on the back because people were thriving, things had seemed to go really well? Or was I mentally discouraged and beaten down because nobody was growing? It was such a struggle. And it was one of those aha experiences of, it's really the same dynamic. Mm-hmm. Both despair and pride are fundamentally saying, I'm responsible for what happens to mm-hmm. somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's one of those wonderfully liberating, humbling realities about mm-hmm. the Christian life that if in fact, no man comes to me unless the Father draws him. Mm-hmm. And if it's my sheep hear my voice, and if all we are is servants, and there is another who brings forth all the growth, as well as has to be sovereign over the failures, there's something in that really keeps your pride in its mm-hmm. place, mm-hmm. and at the same time guards you from despair and discouragement. And, you can learn from your failures. You can rejoice with others in the successes, and yet neither of those is going to kind of cross the line.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we didn't need just a doctor, right, when Christ came to save us. We were dead in our sins. Mm-hmm. We weren't, needing a little bit of resuscitation.
And ministry works within that reality. Yeah, that's right. Always, not just the beginning of the Christian mm-hmm. life, yeah. every moment of growth.
Yeah.
When I think, in some ways, Paul speaks to this dynamic in 1 Corinthians 3 when he's talking about divisions in the church. So he says in verse 5 of chapter 3, "What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Mm. So there's this focus and that keeps going back to it, this is God's work. And yes, we are instruments. He mercifully includes us in his kingdom work, but he is the engineer behind it. Mm. And he's the one who supplies the power for change.
Yeah. And that has such an effect as you wrestle with that and where that line is in clarifying what am I responsible for? What is it mean to sow the seed or water the seed? And if I'm not responsible for the growth or non-growth, what am I responsible for? And I know that this was one of the places in my own counseling where it distills to some really fundamental things. I am responsible in the first place myself to be living in integrity, that I myself am called to live in faith that works through love. Mm-hmm. How am I doing? And this is one of these places, kind of like what Mike was saying, how you know, you're continually humbled by your own failings and need for Christ. How many times have each of us had the experience you're doing marriage counseling or you're talking to an anxious or depressed person and golden words come out of your mouth? They're so good. They're so helpful. They're so right. And you say them with all sincerity. And then your next background thought is, I need to go talk to my wife tonight.
Exactly.
I need to love her better. I need to live with more hope. So that dynamic, I need to live my own life with integrity. Second, I am responsible to really care about this person.
Yeah.
I need to wear their burdens on my shoulders. I'm called to enter in. And then I'm called to not just shoot from the hip. I'm called to know this person. I need to be all ears, all eyes, good questions, really wanting to know what another person's life is like. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible to speak what's true and helpful. Mm-hmm. It has to be biblically true. It has to be personally honest. It has to be relevant. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible to be a good speaker. And I'm also responsible not just give ideas and scripture truth. I'm responsible to help a person walk it out. What's it going to look like? Mm-hmm. How will this, our interaction, affect what happens as you drive home tonight and you go to work tomorrow morning, or your teenager is still having a really rough patch tomorrow, and how will you treat him or her? Those are these really practical things about the counseling process that I am responsible to always be seeking to grow and to do the best I can and to seek to do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a way to encapsulate that and go back to where you started, David, was if I'm asking myself, you know, how well did I do in this session, as though I'm, you know, being graded between 1 and 10, that will either lead to pride and self-sufficiency if things went well, in my opinion, or the potential for discouragement, despair, as opposed to the question, and I think this question encapsulates all that you said, have I been faithful? Mm-hmm. Have I been a faithful servant of the Lord?
And let me beseech that, Lord,
right,
on behalf of this person, because they need his help.
That's right.
You know, it's another thing that God sometimes uses with a great sense of humor, I'm sure. But I think we've all had this experience where someone comes back the next week and they've just been transformed. The counseling last week was phenomenal. It just riveted their life. And you ask them what made a difference, and they'll say something that I don't remember saying.
You don't even remember it. Yeah,
I remember that we went down this path, and sometimes I'm convinced they actually misheard what I actually said, or other times it was some little throwaway line in the middle. Like, I'll never forget this one time. This man came back just radiant the next week. He said, "You know, this thing you said just made such an impact." And he said,
"No, wait! I heard that on the radio somewhere."
Well, that happens too, you know. And what he said, I had absolutely no memory of ever saying. Mm-hmm. You know, it was something, and it must have been an aside, like that. When he prayed, it didn't sound like God was real to him. But we had been talking about all these other issues in his life, and so that too is just a wonderful way that the God who really is worth all glory is very committed to keep us humble and make us not fall into vainglory and self-glory, which is such a fatal sin. Yeah.
And one tiny area that I've even found in my limited amount of counseling is simply praying for the counselee, because it immediately says, no matter what happens in the counseling session, it is the Lord who's going to change their heart. If he uses me as an instrument in some way, wonderful. He's going to use me some way. I have no idea how, but I know ultimately it is up to him. And so prayer for me is that, you know, if I don't pray before I go in to the session or after it for my counselee, what am I saying?
What am I saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
And, you know, it's interesting you picked that up, because that was the next place I went after realizing, well, am I beating myself on the head because it was a bad day, or patting myself on the back because it was a good day? And the alternative, it was so crystal clear as I drive home, If it's a hard day, I intercede. If it's a good day, I rejoice and give thanks. Mm-hmm. And it took exactly the kind of direction that you're taking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's sanity.
Yeah. It's interesting. Paul's talking about contentment in Philippians 4. We oftentimes think discontent breeds where circumstances are hard, but he's basically saying there in Philippians 4 that whether circumstances were good or circumstances were very difficult, it is done in Christ's strength. So whether well-fed or hungry, whether a great counseling session or not, whether I think I did well or not, it is Christ who is the one who strengthens and brings change. And I think that is critical to keep before us.
Here's another different kind of angle on this issue. It's such a great question. I think as you can shake free of the temptation to be rate yourself up or down, it actually frees you to have to invite candid feedback from the person you're counseling with. Like, you can say to someone, "Am I getting you? Do you feel like we're connecting? Give me some feedback. You know, I'm not a mind reader. I know you've lived your life for 31 years. I know only a little slice of you. I want to know you better. I want to be helpful. Give me feedback. Mm-hmm. How can I know you better? How can I love you better? How can I be more helpful in the things that the ways I respond to you?" So there's a freedom to recognize counseling's messy. Counseling is
it's a relationship.
It's a relationship. It's not some perfect little, we all know how to do the line dance, and so we all play our steps and it all comes out fine and matches the music. It's something that often has a you could almost say that the healthiness of the counseling relationship is whether the person being counseled has the freedom to push back and to correct your misapprehensions or the ways that you didn't quite understand me there. I really meant this. Mm-hmm. That's a very good sign where the relationship in counseling has that honest back and forth candor.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.